Kof Gimel Elul, Monday the 7th of September, Dayan Yehoshua Posen, Puzbul.
Good morning. In less than a week, we'll be holding on Rosh Hashanah, and the halachas which we're about to speak about today would already have kicked in. Beginning the first minute of Rosh Hashanah is coming Sunday evening. The Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tezvov, Miket Sheva Shonim Tase Shmita. There's a halacha of Shmita, nothing to do with the din of Shmita's karaka, to do with the halachas relating to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in the seventh year. V'zedva Shmita Shomayit Kol Ba'al Masha Yodei Asha Yashe Bere'ehu. So anybody who owes money to his, who is owed money by his friend, lo yigayis esreiu, es ochim ki kara shmita la nadinu. Says the pasuk, if a person is owed money and it comes to the end of the shmita year, meaning the first minute of the eighth year, so this coming Rosh Hashanah, and all outstanding debts get wiped out. This is a halacha din deraisa, originally, we'll see nowadays whether it's still deraisa, a din which is referred to as shmitas ksofim. There are three different dinim deraisa that relate to this halacha. The first halacha is what we just said. The first two we just quoted in the pasuk. The one is that the debts get wiped out. The second one is that the pasuk says lo yigayis esreiu. There's a lav, in fact, on the malva, on the person who is owed money. There's an issa on him to go to the lova and try and claim the money which has now been wiped out. So if I borrow from you £100. And you don't write a puzzle, we'll come to a puzzle once we've established clearly the halachas. You don't write a puzzle, and it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Sunday evening, says the pasuk, the debt gets wiped out. I no longer owe you any money. And not only does the debt get wiped out, if you were to come to me, saying Gedalia, and knock on my door and say, can we please have the £100 which you ask, that's a lav. There's an issa from going to try and collect the money which has been wiped out. According to Rishonim, the debt's already wiped out. There is a famous Shita Sirem, which we're not going to go into now, who says that debt hasn't been wiped out, but it's also to collect. But most postim hold the debt itself has been wiped out. There's another Issa Deraisa, which is not as well known, and that is the Apostle tells us, Hisham Lechadova, that a person has to be careful, if you think about it, once one understands that all debts get wiped out. So already probably from a year before, people who are in the money lending business or not in the money lending business who have a gemach or doing a teva to someone else, and someone comes up and says, can I borrow money? And they think, hang on a minute, Rosh Hashanah is coming, I've got it in my calendar, be careful. Any debts which are outstanding by Rosh Hashanah are going to get wiped out, you know, I'd rather not lend. Says the Torah, that itself is also. It's also to refrain from lending because you're worried that Shmita will wipe out the debt. So those are the three halachos. We'll come to nowadays and how and where it applies shortly. Where do these halachas apply? In contrast with the halachas of Shmita's Karka. Shmita's Karka is a din in Eretz Yisrael. It's a din to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's got nothing to do with us here in England, other than the fact if produce from Eretz Yisrael finds its way to these shores, then we have to have certain precautions. But if I have a cabbage patch in my garden, or I'm growing apples or oranges in my garden during this current year of Shmita, there's no halachas of Shmita which are relevant to me at all. Shmita's ksofim, however, this halacha that debts get wiped out applies to every single Jew around the world. And, contrary to Shmita, which is in the seventh year, it kicks in the first minute of the eighth year. So actually, there doesn't seem to be any connection at all between the two halachas, other than the fact that they happen similar kind of time of year, so time in the calendar, and they both have the name Shmita. When does this halacha apply? To which kind of debts does this halacha apply? Mishnah Shvi is the first nine prokim deal with the halachas which are relevant to Shmita's karka, to looking after the land. The tenth perek discusses the halachas of Shmita's ksofim, to do with this halacha. And the number of Mishnayos, they explain certain caveats, certain exceptions when the halacha doesn't apply. The first halacha is if, for example, I lend somebody a loan for 10 years. By definition, there's going to be at least one Shmita that falls in the middle of the 10-year loan. So does that mean he'll never have to pay me back? Right, Shmita comes along and wipes out the debt. So there's the Mishnah. Shmita only affects debts which are currently due when Rosh Hashanah falls. Only those debts which are already due, which the Zman Piroin, the time of payment has arrived, and the Malve can call in the loan, then when the debt is already due, that is where Shemitah affected. But any debts which are not yet due, come this Rosh Hashanah, that are not affected. And this is actually used as a tool by those people who don't want to write a puzzle. Let's say, for example, by the end of the Shir, you do a Cheshvan Nefesh, and you decide there's only one loan which is outstanding to you at the moment. Don't think that yet, because you don't yet know what's included in the halachos. But let's say you think at the moment there's only one loan that's outstanding, and therefore for that I don't need to go to write a puzzle, wait in line, write a puzzle. There's a solution. And the Farshim explain, if both parties, according to some of Farshim, you don't even need the Leiva's approval, if both parties were to agree to extend the time when the loan is due, so let's say I borrowed off you £100, and really I'm meant to pay it back already now, we could agree between us to push off the time when the money is due, and you can tell me, pay you after Rosh Hashanah. And by pushing off the time when the loan is due, since the loan is no longer due right now, because you've given me an extension, Shemitah will not affect this loan. It only affects loans when they are already due.
Even if it's okay to pay back earlier?
It's always okay to pay back earlier. You can always pay back a choy before the Zman Piroin. But I'm not chayev to pay back earlier. So by you extending when I'm chayev, that means you can't call me to Bezdin until after Rosh Hashanah. You've given me an extension. That extension actually works in your favor in this particular case, because then Shemitah won't affect the loan. And that's quite a handy tip.
It only works one Rosh Hashanah.
You only have a problem this Rosh Hashanah. It's not every Rosh Hashanah this halacha happens, only the Rosh Hashanah after Shemitah. It's a 7-year issue. That's why I haven't given this year since the last 7 years. I did give it 7 years ago. Some new faces. It's ideal to put in writing of extended, ideally. If both parties agree, then if both parties agree between them, then not. You're believed, and most of the halacha shmitz are very lax as to what you're believed you did and what you didn't do. The Mishnayos list a number of exceptions, other exceptions to the halacha. One of them is called Hakovas Chanus, and one of them is called Schas Sochi. Hakovas Chanus is what they call in America a tab, or what they call here having a bill, when you have it in a shop. Where they have a book, and you can buy it, and they write it down that you owe X amount. You have a credit note, not a credit note, a credit book. Says the Mishnah, that doesn't get affected by Shemitah, unless Zokfa Lov B'Milva. Unless the loan has been now crystallized, and you've been sent a bill for your outstanding loan. And Simli Schas Sochi, this is a harder one to explain. Schas Sochi means wages. That wages, unless they've been also crystallized in Zokfa Lov B'Milva, also Shemitah doesn't affect them. There's a machlokes why this applies, and the Bais Yosef and the Chabad and Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam already before him, learn that this is a technicality. Really, the only reason why the Mishnayos exclude having a credit note in a shop from being affected is because in those days, the way they used to run these credits in the shop is it was open-ended. There was no time when you had to pay it. Pay it whenever you want. There's a book and it gets written down, and we're very easy, we're very, you know, happy-go-lucky. Whenever you want to pay, pop in and pay. So then, says the Mechaber, it's not that there's intrinsically anything different between a loan that it was created by somebody borrowing money or a debt which was created by purchasing items in a shop. It's a technical difference. The difference is, it's not yet due. You're not yet due to pay it. But if you would be due to pay it, then Shemitah would affect it. So the Mechaber learns that this halacha Shemitah's Ksofim stretches not only to money which is owed as a result of borrowing, but money which is owed as a result of anything. Whether you owe money because you've done work for somebody, whether you owe money because you purchased something, whether you owe money because you borrowed money, all of those debts which are outstanding, Shemitah will affect. There is, so now a mortgage won't affect the capital. A mortgage will not affect the capital because the capital is not yet due. It will only affect those payments, and only if the mortgage is owed to a yid. So for example, a Jewish bank, an Israeli bank. It's only between, this halacha is only relevant between Yidden. There is another exception in the Mishnayos, which is a mashkin. In the event where I borrowed from you £100, and I've given you my watch as a mashkin, a security, and you're holding on to the watch, since you're holding something in lieu of the debt, it's as if you've been paid, whether you have to come on to Baal Chayv Kohen a mashkin or not, it's not relevant for today, but you're already holding something for the debt, and therefore Shemitah doesn't affect such a debt. There's a modern-day machlokes in the poskim What happens in the event, let's say, for I'm sure this can happen very easily at the end of this coming week. I'm sure there are many different people who hire other people to work for them in their companies or privately, whatever it might be. And before Rosh Hashanah, they want to make sure they pay their wages. So they give them a check. Right? So let's say you work for somebody and you receive your check on Friday. Sunday, you're busy, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you don't get to put it in the bank, and it's sitting there in your wallet at home. Motzei Rosh Hashanah, you haven't been to this shir, so you didn't think of it before. Motzei Rosh Hashanah, you wake up, you open your wallet, you take out a check, and now you realize, actually, I'm owed money by my boss. And my boss, I didn't write a puzzle, because I'm not owed any debt as such. I work every month, I get paid, every week, however you get paid. And I've got this check sitting in my wallet. Am I allowed now to cash this check? Because if you analyze what's actually happening here, I'm owed money, I've received a check. What is a check? How do you understand what a check is? If you understand a check is at least a mashkin, right? If you're telling my watch is security, so here I've got your check as security, so chotch it's a mashkin, therefore if it's a mashkin, then shmitah shouldn't affect it. Maybe it's even more than a mashkin, maybe it's like money. So this is a machlekes haposkim, which I think we've discussed this before in a different context, depends on where you live. In Eretz Yisrael, there's much more room to discuss this shaila, because in Eretz Yisrael, a check is used much more like cash. I think I've told you once before that a banker once told me that he received a check in Eretz Yisrael, but there was no more room on the back for signatures. Right? It's over lasoicha, you pass it from one person to the next person, you know, you go in the makolet, you pay with your check, he gives it to the drink supplier, who gives it on, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's why, in fact, it's illegal to stop a check in Eretz Yisrael. The simple reason that whoever you have a taina against has long given over the check. So the person who's actually suffering is someone else down the line. You can stop it, but it's illegal to do it. So there are many poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman paskins, that at least it's as good as a mashkin, if not better. However, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, even in Eretz Yisrael, paskins, no, all a check is, it's a request to pay. That's what it is. It's a request from the bank to pay the debt, which is from the money which you have in an account. And therefore, it's nothing. Now here in England, where it's not illegal to stop a check, and you can't, most places, walk in with somebody else's check and try and use it to buy something just because there's a counter signature on the back. We're not going to go for that. Probably by the next Schmitzer, we won't even be able to discuss checks anymore. So therefore, here in England, most poskim would say that it's not considered money. And if it's not considered money, and it's not even considered a mashkin, so therefore you have to be aware that if you have a check, so put it in the bank before Schmitzer, or make sure you write a prosbul. But just holding on to the check, it could be an issue.
If the check bounces,
you've got a problem. Unless you're a puzzle, you'll have a problem. If you're a puzzle, you're okay. Akaponim, let me get to what puzzle is. So I just wanted to first show some of you that you might have thought that you don't need to write a puzzle because I'm not owed money in the normal classic debt form. But if you're owed money by your boss, or you've been paid a check for any particular thing, or you have, by the way, similarly to an Israeli bank account, if you have money deposited in an Israeli bank account, that is also that you've lent money to, or any other Jewish bank for that matter, then you've lent money to a Yid. You're owed money by a Yid. And Shmita will affect it. So now we have to come to the solution. What are we meant to do? Those people who do not want their debts wiped out, those who are happy to have their debts wiped out, the rest will be purely Torah. Akaponim, the Gemara says in Gittin, Hillel Azokin, at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, analyzed what was going on in society at the time, and he realized that there were a number of people who were refraining from lending money in the build-up to Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, for the very reason which we said, because they didn't want their debts to get wiped out. And yes, there's certain solutions here and there, but nothing that really appeal to the mass public, and therefore people refrained from lending. And because they were stopping lending, they were over on the second law, which you mentioned, is Shomer Lecho. They were over on Issa Deraisa. So Hillel got up and he was masakin something to prevent this Issa from taking place. What was he masakin? He was masakin that a person who is owed money goes to a Bezdin, or if he doesn't want to go to a Bezdin, he signs a piece of paper with the names of the allocated Dayanim, assigned Dayanim on it, saying, Meisrani Lochem, I am handing over my debts to these Dayanim, and as a result of that, I'll be able to claim my debts. Now, let me just explain what that means. That does not mean that those of us in the Bezdin business are about to become very wealthy. Right? It doesn't mean that you're actually giving your debts to Beis Din and now we can claim the money for ourselves. What it means is that you're handing over, you're empowering Beis Din to act as effectively your debt collectors. You're empowering us to claim the money. Why does this work? Why does it work as a machlekes rishonim? The Gemara asks the kasha. The Gemara says, one second, min ha-Torah, the debt has been wiped out. Min ha-Torah, I no longer owe you a penny. This £100, comes Sunday night, I'm free. I don't owe you a penny. And now Hillel comes along and says, because you write this piece of paper, and it says you're handing over your debts to Beis Din, therefore, no problem at all, the debt just, all of a sudden now I do owe you the money. But the Torah has wiped out the debts. How does it work that I still owe you the money? So there's a machlekes how to learn the sugya. It's a very geshmaka sugya, but we haven't got time to go through it now. Rashi learns, by the end of the sugya, you see that Rashi learns that according to Rava, the reason how it works is with Hefke, Beis Din, Hefke. Hefke, Beis Din, Hefke, that the Rabbanon have the ability to create a debt or wipe out a debt, like they have the ability to say something doesn't belong to you anymore or does belong to you anymore. There's a certain power which the Torah empowered, the Gemara brings rise for it. Obviously not whenever Beis Din like, only when there's a justification for it. In certain extreme situations, you don't find Hefke, Beis Din, Hefke every other day. But in certain extreme situations, Beis Din, if Chazal get up and make a takona, then they can make a takona and change the facts on the ground as far as finances are concerned. The Gemara gives, before that, a different teretz. The Gemara says before that, in fact,
say what the mechanism is. Do they make it Hefke and then make it Chal again?
So they, in this particular case, they won't have to make it Hefke because the Torah wipes out the debt. Yeah. What they do is they make it that you now owe him again. Pashtus. There are different ways of learning the Gemara. Again, if we had more than half an hour, we could go through it all. But Pashtus, that's what's happening.
Sorry, why does it help to appoint somebody else as your debt collector?
That was the way that Chazal were misaken when they would apply Hefka, Beis Din, Hefka, not just across the board. There are other ways to learn. Let me just say a couple. The Gemara itself, if you learn the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara doesn't answer with Hefka, Beis Din, Hefka. The Gemara at the beginning answers that nowadays, Shmitas Ksofim is Drabonon. The reason why it's Drabonon is because there's a hekesh between Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksofim. And since Shmitas Karka nowadays is Drabonon, if you pass like Rebbe, and the reason why Shmitas Karka is Drabonon is because nowadays we do not have Yovel. We do not keep Yovel. And just to make this clear, if we would keep Yovel, then everything would be different. It's not just a Sefer Halacha which we don't keep. If we would keep Yovel, then the coming Rosh Hashanah, well, depending on where we're up to in the cycle, but after 7 years, seven different Shmitas, the 50th year is going to be Yovel, and then only after the 50th year do you start counting again Shmita. So in actual fact, if we were keeping it the way it should be Min HaTorah, this year wouldn't even have been Shmita. Because we would have Yovel every 50 years, and only then do you start counting again the cycle. So we are keeping nowadays Pashas, that's the way we Paskin, that's the way Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Nowadays Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksofim is Drabonim. In fact, just as a side point, I don't know if this was ever mentioned in all the various appeals for Shmitas Karka, but one could say, what's going on with Shmitas Karka? What's all this noise making appeals that you should pay money towards the farmers who are keeping Shmitas Karka? It says in the Apostles, we say it's Bechosi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look after them. So what's the issue here? In fact, Tosis on this Gemara brings down and says, if Chazal created Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksofim Drabonon, why didn't they create Yovel Drabonon? Well, all these Dini Deiraisa which no longer apply, often you find Chazal created that we still do it Drabonon in order that we don't forget. So why don't they create Yovel as well Drabonon? Answers Tosis, you know why? Because it's too difficult for the farmers to be able to keep two consecutive years of not working on the land. That means the 49th year would be Shmita, the 50th year would also be Shmita, that's too difficult. Says the Sman Shulchan Aruch, why is it too difficult? Tzipisas v'chossi. What's the problem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sort it out. The same time as the time the Torah wasn't too difficult. Why is it too difficult now? Answers the Sman, no. Since nowadays it's only Drabonon, you don't have Tzipisas v'chossi. That guarantee in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide you with everything you need, is talking about when Shmita's Deraisa. If Shmita's Drabonon, you cannot rely on that anymore. And since you cannot rely on anyone, that's why you have to help the farmers, because they don't have necessarily. I know that from a PR point of view, Sipi says Bechosi is still used to encourage people to give to Shmita, but Azoy is up the Sma. Akaponim, coming back to our sugya. Shmita, if nowadays Shmita's Ksofim is only Drabonon, then it's easier to understand how Hillel could come along and say, if you write a Prusvul, then Shmita won't apply. Tosfos has a different pshat in the sugya. Tosfos learns that if you look back to the remaining Mishnayos in the 10th Perek of Shviyos, which we haven't yet touched on, one of the other remaining exceptions is a halacha called Moser Shtorisov Lebezen. If a person picks up their shtorichov, their debts, their letters of credit, and they hand them in, physically hand them in to Bezden, then Bezden will claim on their behalf, and that works min haTorah already, even before Hillel came along. That works. Why? There's a gzeris hakosov, that the issa of a person collecting his own debts is the word lo yigos. Lo yigos is in the singular loshen, it's a singular statement, it doesn't apply to a public body. A public body don't have a problem to make the collection. And therefore, even min haTorah, if you hand it over to Bezden, it's not a problem. The question is Pruzvil anything more than that, or not? So Tosfos learns, no, Pruzvil's working along those lines as well. And it's not actually in halacha a major chiddush. The other mafarshim say, no, here I'm not handing over anything to Bezden. And the Pruzvil works even for a milva alpeh, even for a milva where there is no shtar. Right? Most people have milvas which are milva alpeh. They haven't necessarily sat down and drawn up a proper document. So for that, you need a Pruzvil. This halacha, that Shemitah doesn't affect public debt, is actually very relevant. If you have a shul, which is owed shul fees, or a school, or a moistad, which is owed money, we learn out as well from this halacha, that they don't have to bother writing a pruzbul. Because that's not an individual, unless it's a personal organization. But a school, for example, a shul. Right? If I'm a member of a shul, when I leave that shul, I can't sell my chelik in the building. I don't own anything in the building. I don't own the shul, the kehillah, owns the building. It's not something which is owned by individuals. It's the closest thing you find in halacha to the concept of a company. Even less than maybe a trust. It's something which is, it's a kehillah, it's a moesed, a school for example. It's not owned by any individual. You have trustees, but the trustees are upper tropsim. They are people appointed to look after the interests of the organization. It's not owned by an individual. So therefore, if they are owed money, they don't need to bother writing a proposal. They work in the same way as Bezden. Who is needed for this Bezden? Right, this Thursday night or Sunday morning, depending when you do it, mitzvah and people are going to go and write a puzzle. Who is required to be on the bezin? The mechaber.
When's the first moment
you can write it? You can write it now already, but there's a problem. The problem is that the puzzle only works for those debts up to the time of writing. It's actually the opposite of a shtar choiv. Normally, on an IOU debt, or a shtar choiv, a shtar muktam is possible. If it's predated, it's possible. Why is that? Because a normal shtar choiv has the ability, at least at the time of Chazal, to claim from nechosim meshubodim. That means if I, today, on Monday, have a property, and I sell that property. On Tuesday, if I borrow £1 million from you, and I sign a shtar choiv. So if you write on Tuesday, Sunday's date, you predate it, then you can use that shtar choiv to go and claim that property from whoever bought it from me. If I don't have any of my own assets, you can try and go after the property. Now, whether that applies nowadays or not is a separate shaila. If you don't put a charge, you don't put a notice, whether that applies is a separate shaila. But etzem midin, you can claim from what's called nechosim meshubadim. So therefore, that's why a shtachoy, which is predated, is possible, because that gives you the ability to claim from assets which you shouldn't really have a right to claim from. If it's post-dated, it's not a problem. Because on the contrary, you're giving yourself less ability. Any assets which have been sold and before the date when you're now post-dating, it won't be touched. So that's not a problem. Pruzbul is the opposite. Because Pruzbul only works on the debts which existed up to the time when it was signed, if you post-date it, you're including debts which might not have happened. If you predate it, on the contrary, you're not including things which really could be included. So there have been organizations which have handed out Pruzbuls, all typed up beautifully, including the date, Erev Rosh Hashanah. To make life really easy, that all you have to do is fill in your name and sign. And here you're not signing even in front of Bezden, you sign in front of Edom, that I'm handing it over to such and such a Bezden. What you have to be careful is if you sign that today, it's possible. Because since the date is Erev Rosh Hashanah, so really that's a Pruzbul which is Mu'ucha, the date is later than it really should be, it should be the date on the time of signing, and therefore it's possible. So you have to make sure that the date on it is the date when it's signed. Now, those people who are nervous, they're over Shana, they're not going to have time. So you could do it already this week. But the problem is, you have to make sure, if, for example, your boss pays you on Friday and you've already written it Thursday night, you've got to make sure that check goes into the bank before Rosh Hashanah. Who's required for the Bezden? Pardon?
It's a bit about
can do as many as you like. Do as many as you can. Do one every day of the week. Yeah. Just to make sure. Achaponim, who's required to be on the bezin? The mechaba is machmir. The mechaba holds in Shulchan Aruch that for the bezin you need a bezin shehim chum rabim aleim, which means that the public have accepted them as having a power over them. So, for example, if a person is part of any particular kehillah, the bezin of that kehillah would probably constitute as the shehim chum rabim aleim. In some batei knesses, they actually do it that the rav of the shul, together with two people that he's appointed, they make they sit down and write the puzzle, because that's also a similar concept of him chum rabim aleim. They've accepted them upon themselves. Why does the mechaba need such a bezin? Because if you learn, like in the Gemara, how Pashas actually, the Gemara seems to imply this, that what the bezin is doing is hefker bezin hefker. They are, so to speak, creating debts which otherwise would be dissolved by Shemitah Drabonon. So you need a bezin which has some kind of power. If I walk up to the three people behind me in shul, like I normally do, Fatsaras Lidzorim, and say, okay, I'm handing over my debts to you, what kind of power do they have? So therefore the Mechaba says, you need a proper bezin, shehim chum rabim aleim. The Ramah is Mekel. The Ramah is Mekel and says, no, any three people you want, and in fact, so people who keep the halachos of Ashkenaz, you can use any three people you want, and in fact the post can bring down that there isn't even a psul like with Ataras Nadorim of Mishpacha and Kravim, etc. No problem at all. The whole thing is a kind of zeicha, and that's what you're required to write. The Meister, ideally lechachila, the Mefarshim seem to take on that one should ideally refer to a particular bezin or rabbinate or one in a shul. But if one doesn't have that option or ability, then the Ramah says very clearly there's nothing wrong with writing a puzzle to any three people who you want. Nowadays, we've already established that Shemitah's Ksofim is Drabonon. Right? Shemitah's Ksofim is Drabonon. And we've already said all the different things that it includes, whether it includes having an Israeli bank account, checks that you might have, money which are owed as a result of all different things which you've mentioned. What happens if a person does not write a puzzle? Again, a person should write a puzzle. What happens if a person didn't write a puzzle? The Ramah brings down in Shulchan Aruch that even though the Mechaba says that we keep Shemitah's Ksofim nowadays, Midrabonon, says the Ramah, the minig in Ashkenaz, already at the time of the Rosh, was that they didn't keep Shemitah's Ksofim. They didn't keep it at all. And in fact, it says that the Rosh used to shry on them that you have to keep Shemitah's Ksofim, and they didn't listen to him. And one of the reasons which the Rosh brings down, maybe, to be matzdik, why the public didn't keep Shemitah's Ksofim, that means why they didn't bother writing a puzzle at all, one of the things he brings down is that there's a Gemara which says, if I lend you money, and I say I'm lending you money on condition that Shemitah doesn't affect the loan, that doesn't work. That's Master Masha Kosova Torah. You can't change the facts in the Torah. The Torah says Shemitah works. You can't say it doesn't work. But if I lend you money on condition that you don't let Shemitah affect the loan, that does work. Because effectively, what have we agreed? We've agreed that you have undertaken that even if Shemitah were to wipe out the loan, you're going to pay it back nevertheless. You're going to pay it back, so you oblige yourself to pay it. Nothing to do with the loan. You've been misguided yourself to pay. So the Rosh says, maybe in his generation, since everybody understood when you lent money that I expect to be paid back even after Shemitah, even if you don't write a puzzle, it was as if there was a standing order in place that everybody is lending on that condition, which was a chiddush, and the Rosh wasn't happy with it, but that was where the chiddush then in place. The Mishnah in Shviyah says that even if a person keeps Shemitah's Ksofim, and therefore I borrow from you £100 and you don't write a puzzle, and the debt gets wiped out, says the Mishnah, what's meant to happen is even though the debt's been wiped out, I'm meant to come up to you Motzi Rosh Hashanah, and I'm meant to say, I want to pay you the money. Here's £100. And you are meant to say, everyone's reading from the script, it's all there in the Mishnah, and you're meant to say, no Meshama Tani Bach, Shemitah's wiped out the debt. And I'm meant to say, Afal Pi Kein, nevertheless I want to pay you. And you're meant to say, thank you very much. And take the money. And in fact, coming clear in those people who keep Maisa Ksofim and take Maisa from presents, Pashtus, make it a dinner, when you get that money back, you should take Maisa from it. Because I'm not paying you back, whether you have to pay tax, I leave to the accountants, but I'm not paying you back the debt. The debt's been wiped out. I'm paying you back a matona. Why am I giving you a matona? Because I feel it's not right, it's not yashus, I shouldn't pay you back, I've got a karas atoyv, whatever it might be. But I want to pay it back. And the Mishnah says that's what I should do. I should pay it back. But etzem, the debt's been wiped out. Halacha lemaisa, we've run out of time, but halacha lemaisa, Ramosha brings down Rav Moshe brings down that if a person doesn't write a puzzle, does the lover have to pay back the money? So first of all, in any case, like that Mishnah in Shvius, we just said, from a hashkofa, ethical point of view, he should be offering to pay it back in any case. But Rav Moshe says one step more than that. He says, that which we Ashkenazim try to keep the minhag of Shemitah, how do you know that what that meant was that they kept the minhag of Shemitah all the way that if you don't write a puzzle, the debt gets wiped out? Maybe it means that the Rosh was shrying to them, keep the minhag chosh of writing a puzzle. Not trying to puzzle. But if you don't write a puzzle, how do you know the debts got wiped out? That we don't know at all. Says the Rav Moshe, we have a mitzvah d'oraisa, a prius bal choiv mitzvah. If I borrow from £100, I've got a mitzvah d'oraisa to pay it back. If we keep Kaminik Ashkenaz, there's a suffix, if Bechlal Shmita affected this loan, meaning ideally, of course, you should have written a puzzle. The minik Yisrael Kadoshim is to write a puzzle, and we're not changing for that in any way. All the Mepharshim posting bring down. If you're in this situation, Nechachila, you should write a puzzle. But says Rav Moshe, but we don't know Bechlal. If you don't, that means the debt's wiped out. So that's Bechlal, a Sofik Jabonon. So when you've got the Vaday Deiraisa, Prius Balchay Mitzvah, a Sofik Jabonon, for sure the Lover should go and pay back the money. And the Rosh HaShulchan goes one step even further. We haven't got time for him now. Rosh HaShulchan effectively wipes out the whole Halacha of Shvitas Ksofim. But Be'etzim, the post can bring down very clearly that if a person does not write a puzzle, the debt still needs to be paid. But Lechachila, the minig is that a person should write a puzzle, and I hope we've made it a little bit clearer the different cases when it applies.